You know, this month we are taking that song, What Child Is This? And we're asking that same question, what child is this? And I think that's a question that each of us has to answer in our own hearts. What child is this? What does Jesus mean to me? And that song brings up many different names in the Christmas story. If you think about the song, you think about the verses in the song, you think about the eyewitnesses to the birth of Christ, and of course we read that the Christ child was certainly there, and we're reminded of Mary's presence, and the shepherds came, and the angels are present, and even the ox and donkeys are mentioned in the song. And there's a reference to the gifts of the wise men, although they're not mentioned by name. But did you notice that there's one character that there's not even a mention of in that song, What Child Is This? Anybody want to take a guess as to what that character's name was?
Joseph.
See? If you look at the title of the sermon, that helps. Joseph. There's no mention of the man who helped raise the son of Mary. Everybody else, even the animals get mentioned, but not Joseph. Any dads, can you feel that now? You know, they talk about the dog all the time, you know. And yet Joseph would be the primary male figure in the life of Jesus as he's growing up. He would love him. He would invest himself into Jesus' life. He would risk his own life to protect Jesus. Now, maybe Joseph wouldn't have even cared whether his name was mentioned or not. Maybe that was the kind of man he was. The Gospel of Mark doesn't even mention Joseph's name. The other Gospel writers, Matthew, Luke, and John, mention his name, but there's nothing recorded in all of the Bible that Joseph actually said. There's no quotes of Joseph anywhere to be found. While a few of his actions are certainly recorded, especially early in the life of his relationship with Mary and in the early life of Jesus, none of his words remain in print within the pages of the Bible. Only Joseph's actions of obedience, of care, and of his presence are mentioned. But when we ask the question, what child is this? One correct answer would be, he is the stepson of Joseph. He is the adopted child of Joseph. Now, even if he wasn't mentioned in the song, Joseph's words are not present in the gospel text. But Joseph quietly was present at the manger. He was present before the manger. And he was present after the manger. All the way up until at least the time when Jesus was 12 years old. Now beyond that, the historical account, we don't have much mention of Joseph. Most Bible historians would believe that Joseph died somewhere between Jesus' 12th birthday and the time that Jesus' ministry began when he was 30 years old. But during that early childhood of Jesus' life on earth, not only was this child known as the son of Mary, but he was also known as the son of Joseph. What child is this? He is a child adopted by a man who loved him. And how do we know Joseph adopted him? Well, there are clues written throughout Scripture. So let's go back to that Christmas story in Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. And we see when the angel came to Joseph. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. And because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord said through the prophet: the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Now, there are two places in the text that give the reader clues that Joseph, although not the birth father of Jesus, became Jesus' adoptive father. The angel of the Lord told Joseph in the dream in verse 21, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And then in verse 25, where Joseph gave him the name Jesus. Now, we understand in that culture that the naming of the child was the responsibility of the father. The intention of God was for Joseph to adopt Jesus as his son and become his earthly father. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem on that Christmas night, Joseph named the child, his adopted child, Jesus. It was his responsibility as the adoptive father to name the child. On the night Jesus was born, Joseph not only gave Jesus his name, but also, very likely, he did what they would have done naturally in that culture. He would have taken that newborn baby, and he would have laid him across his knees. And that symbolic act in the first century would be a way of saying, this is my son, and naming him as his son. Subsequently, for a man to place someone else's child across his knee was really a sacred and symbolic act signifying adoption. Although the Bible doesn't state explicitly that Joseph did this, it's highly probable that he did, because that's what they would have done in that day. Now, Joseph's wife, Mary, certainly viewed her husband as Jesus' father. You know, you might remember the story when Jesus was 12 and they all went over to Jerusalem and the whole family was there and they were celebrating the feast of the Passover. And they spent several days there and then they traveled back home. And when Joseph and Mary got back home, they realized Jesus wasn't with them. Now, we might think today, bad parents. How in the world can you go 3 days and not even know where your kid is? I mean, but in that day, as they traveled, they would have traveled like the kids would have traveled together, and the men would have traveled together, and the women would have talked and walked together. So we understand sort of how that could have happened. It's still sort of crazy. You know, he is the Son of God. You lost the Son of God. That's sort of a bad thing. But they rushed back to Jerusalem, and I imagine rush is really the word. They rushed back to Jerusalem, and they found Jesus talking to the teachers, actually teaching the teachers in the temple. Here's a little 12-year-old boy, and he is teaching the most highly educated of all the Jewish religious leaders. And notice how Jesus' mother Mary responds to Jesus upon finding him, as well as how Luke, the writer of the gospel account, identifies the couple in Luke chapter 2 and verse 48. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." Did you notice? Now, Luke identified both Mary and Joseph as Jesus' parents. Mary, Jesus' birth mother, calls her husband Joseph Jesus' father. Now, we know that Jesus is the Son of God, but she calls Joseph the father. So it was clear that Joseph adopted Jesus as his son. It was how Jesus was known in his childhood and even into his adulthood. Another clue is given in John's gospel when Jesus calls his disciples to follow him and later into his public ministry. If you look over in John chapter 1, beginning in verse 43, The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of who? Joseph." Didn't say the son of God at that point, but the son of Joseph. Later in John 6, beginning in verse 41, we read, "At this the Jews there began to grumble about him, because he said, 'I am the bread that came down from heaven.'" In verse 42, they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" Everybody who knew Jesus recognized him as Joseph's son. Joseph had adopted Jesus as his son from day one. What child is this? Well, as we think about Jesus and the characteristics of Jesus, one of the characteristics that answers the question is found in the reflection of his earthly father, Joseph. He is the one who adopts and names us as part of his own family. Think about Jesus. He adopts us. He is like our adoptive father. Paul writes about this characteristic of Jesus who would grow from this baby in the manger to the God that was not only willing to die for us, to rescue us, but also to lay all people across his knees, to call them his own as he purchased our freedom from slavery to sin and death and Satan and hell. Look with me in Galatians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive" what? "Adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir." Think about that. You are a child of God because of what Jesus has done. What child is this? He is the one who makes adoption into his family possible for every one of us. And adoption leads to our salvation, which includes our freedom from sin. Now, Jesus was no doubt influenced by this man, Joseph, who took on the responsibility of being his earthly stepfather. The stepfather, think about that, to the Son of God. So I want us just to think for a moment about Joseph's response and his experience. Joseph was told to name his adoptive son, what name? Jesus. When Jesus was born, that's what the angel said he was to name him. We know at first in the story, Joseph wasn't sure what to do. When he got word, when Mary basically said, "Look, I'm pregnant." "Well, I know that's not my child. Whose child is that?" "It's God's son." "Okay, let's get real here. Mary, you're expecting me to believe that this is God's son." "Well, that's what it is. He is the son of God." "Okay. Now, how many of you men in here would find that hard to believe?" Okay, come on now. So, you know, he knew he wasn't the father. Now, they had not gone through the official wedding at that time. They were betrothed. But Joseph was thinking, "What am I going to do? Do I need to divorce her? I don't want to ruin her life." He was a good man. And so he thought, "Maybe I'll divorce her quietly." But as he was considering this, we know that that's when the angel came. And the angel explained to him, "Yeah, Mary's telling you the truth. You need to listen to her." Anybody ever told you men that you need to listen to your wife? Okay, this is one of those times, okay? But it would be a challenge for him, because it wasn't just taking on the role of, you know, a stepdad and, you know, providing for the child. No, this was putting him in a position where he was going to have to risk his own life in order to protect this child. In Matthew chapter 2, you might remember that the angel came again to him. In verse 13, when they had gone, that is, the wise men who came to visit, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. And so he got up, he took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. Now think about that. Not only, I mean, this isn't just some easy family situation, I'm going to adopt this child. No, he is putting his life and everything at risk, and now he's got to leave everything behind to protect the child and to protect the mother. And what I find interesting about Joseph is that every time God made clear what his will was, Joseph responded. And so he took Jesus away from that danger. Later in Matthew 2, beginning in verse 19, we read, after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. And so he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. And so was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. So again, every time God presented Joseph with God's plan, and God said, do this, Joseph, what does he do? He does it. He obeys. The family stayed away from danger until Joseph knew it was safe. He sacrificed in order to protect Jesus. That's what a good dad does, isn't it? A good dad is going to protect his children at all costs. I want to encourage all you dads, protect your children. And it might not always be the things that are outside the home you need to protect them from. You need to protect them from sin and temptation and the struggles of life. You be a good dad. You be present with them. Now, once he heard that Herod had died, we see that he thought it was safe to go back, but then he heard about Archelaus. So he took the family to Nazareth so that they would be further away from the capital. Now, so Joseph isn't known for all of his good words that he used. He isn't known as this great leader of men with many people following him, but he is known as a man who simply said yes to God. When given a clear path and one who always tried to do the right thing, that's what Joseph tried to be. Now, what I see in this man, Joseph, is that he provided for his family. He worked hard as a carpenter. He took Jesus as his own son and risked his own life to protect Jesus. Now, that adoption of Jesus is a very important concept in our faith. You see, Joseph adopted Jesus as his own son, and we read about that in Matthew 1:20. But after he had considered this, the angel of the Lord said, hey, Joseph, this is from God. And so he adopted Jesus. He named Jesus, God saves. What God saves, God adopts as his own, and for his own by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, when we ask that question and we answer it, well, we understand, what child is this? Jesus is the one who adopts us. We go to Romans chapter 8, begin in verse 14. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. Paul goes on to write about the adoption that we have into God's family in the letter he wrote to the Ephesians. In Ephesians 1:5, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will. So Jesus is the one who adopts us. What child is this? That's who He is. Jesus is also the one who renames us. You remember, it was the father's responsibility to name the child. After our adoption into the family of God, the father, that is made possible by Jesus the Son, and in due time, Jesus will give us a new name. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 17, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give of the hidden manna. I will also give that person a white stone with a what written on it? A new name, known only to the one who receives it. Who's going to give us that new name? I think it's Jesus. That is adoption language. It includes the responsibility of the father to name his child. What child is this? He is the one who enables adoption into God's family to take place, and He is the one that will give us a new name in that family. These are the characteristics we see in Jesus' adoptive and earthly father, Joseph, and these are the truths and responsibilities of the one we celebrate who was born in a manger so that He could later die on a cross, leading to a resurrection and the ultimate defeat of sin and death. And that victory and life enables adoption to be available for all of us who call on His name. This is the ultimate answer to the question, what child is this? He is Jesus, the adopting and naming God who sets us on His knee and calls us sons and daughters. He enables us to be His family and He gives us our name. It means we don't have to be great teachers and speakers to fulfill God's plan for our lives. As you think about the application of Joseph's life and this story, we see Joseph, he wasn't this great big leader, but he was simply a good man who did what God wanted him to do. As far as we know, Joseph wasn't a teacher or a great speaker, and yet he always said yes to God. He was a good husband. He was a good father. He was a good provider. He was a good protector. If we as men will simply strive to be that, and I'd say we as men and women, mothers and fathers, I think that our families are going to be blessed. We also think about the application in this. That being adopted can be one of the greatest gifts a person can give. If you adopt someone or if you've been adopted, there is a wonderful gift that you have given or that you have received. Joseph took Jesus as his own son and loved him. He didn't have to do that, but he chose to do that. He chose Jesus. Now, if you were adopted or if you're going to adopt a child, you can spend a lifetime, you know, the adopted child could spend a lifetime worrying about, well, what happened to my birth parents? You know, how come they gave me up? And, you know, we can go through life with all of this burden on us. But if we would realize that those parents who adopted us chose us, that they love us, maybe that could be a great gift for us. You see, most of us as parents, if we have, you know, our own birth children, we didn't choose them. You know, they were given to us. We didn't get to say, I'm just going to tell this story on Alyssa. When Alyssa was little and we got pregnant again, I say we, and that's sort of funny. Alyssa kept saying, I want a brother. I want a brother. So when we were at the hospital, we called home. We said, you got a sister? And Alyssa said, "Can you put her back?" We can't do that. We can't put them back. But adoptive parents choose that child. And that makes it even more wonderful, doesn't it? To be chosen. So when God chooses us, isn't that a wonderful thing? He chooses us, even with all of our weaknesses, even with all of our blemishes, even with all of our sickness and sin. And He loves us so much that He allowed His birth son to die for us so that He might adopt us as His own children. That's the greatest gift anyone can ever give to you. Whatever you open on Christmas morning, there's nothing that beats what God has done for you. So let's celebrate that gift. Let us rejoice in that gift. Let us celebrate the child who made that possible. What child is this? He is the adopted son of Joseph who adopts us as His own children. Father, we come to You today thankful that You have chosen to adopt us into Your family. Thank You for the example of Joseph set simply to obey. You know, that what a wonderful message that is. Just be the best person you can be. You don't have to be a great leader. You don't have to be a great speaker. You don't have to get up on stage. You just be a godly person who does the will of God. Thank You, Father, for Your infinite wisdom and plan to send Jesus as Your own Son. May we celebrate Him, the child who had become our Savior. And may we strive to love others as You have loved us. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You know, sometimes, if you think about it, the child that's adopted can make a tremendous difference. You think about Jesus and what a difference He made in the world. He was an adopted child. When I was in India, Ajay shared this story with Christy and I, and he talked about the children's home, Balbhavan, there in Damo. The government of India made a decision. They said, you can no longer just adopt these children out to Christian parents. You have to adopt them to anyone we say. So it can be Hindu or Muslim or whatever. You know, you have to open up that adoption to anyone we give permission to adopt. And they were very concerned about that because, you know, when these children come into their home, they don't have parents. And so they become almost the children's parents, and they love those children, and they share Christ with these kids, and these kids worship Jesus, and they grow up in that atmosphere. And to take them from that into a home where they don't even believe in Jesus, that would be a scary thing. Think about it. Think about it. So sure enough, one day, a couple shows up at the campus. They say, we have the paperwork from the government. We're here to adopt a little girl. These were two Hindu people. Both of them were doctors. And they said, we're here to adopt a little girl. And they came in. There's nothing that the CICM staff could do. It was heartbreaking to see the little child taken into a Hindu home because they were really concerned about what she would learn. They didn't know what happened to her. Hadn't heard for a while. Ajay met a pastor from the town that the couple lived in. He asked, maybe a year or two later, he said, do you know so-and-so? Pastor, oh, yes, I know them. And Ajay said, well, you know, a couple of years ago, they came and they got this child from us. He said, we hadn't heard from her. We're worried about her. And the pastor said, you won't believe this. You ready? That little girl, that couple loved her. And it's not just Christian parents that love their kids. All parents love their kids. And that couple loved that little girl. They wanted to give that little girl anything she wanted. And when they got home, and every Sunday morning, that little girl would be crying. And you know what she'd be crying? I want to go to church. I want to worship Jesus. Please take me to church. And you know, parents, you know, okay. So they took her to church. And for the first time in their lives, these two Hindu doctors heard the gospel message. And they chose Jesus as their Savior. Yes, yes. A little 5-year-old girl adopted into this family. She helped change their hearts. You know, we take it for granted, don't we? A lot of us take it for granted what Jesus did. He came to change your life. He came to let you know you can be adopted. Even with all of your sin, with all of your mess in your life, it can be forgiven, washed away, cleansed. But you have to make a decision to accept it. So this morning we're going to have an invitation song. And if you need to make a decision about your life with Christ, I want to invite you to come down. Maybe you just need some prayer. Maybe stuff's going on in your life and it's difficult stuff. And you just want to talk with somebody and pray with them. Whatever it is, as we stand and sing, come on down, talk to us. Let us help you today.